Is James Gunn's Superman Legacy secretly a Super Friends movie? We answer that question and more this week on Only Stupid Answers. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Only Stupid Answers. This is the show where we answer your questions about movies, TV shows, comic books, strikes, and various other things. So we had previously recorded this episode prior to the strike, and then the strike happened, and weekend passed. A lot of things have gone down. So the stuff we're going to be talking about, the Superman Legacy casting, we're going to be talking about the Emmys, all that stuff was recorded pre-strike, but of course we wanted to update our thoughts on the strike. Saying all that before I say my name is DJ Wooldridge. With me as always is Roxy Stryer. Hi, Roxy.
Fresh off of the picket line, DJ.
Woo! Oh, I'm my goodness.
Here to represent that. Oh, boy. You want to hear something funny?
Yeah, I would love to hear something funny, Roxy. Lighten my mood, Roxy.
So I'm in like the like tightest, girliest white, like my pants are the same as my top. Yeah. That neon on them, like, yeah. He's like, get up. And I had my hair in this high ponytail, like whatever it was, my earrings on, my nails are done. Mm-hmm. And I walk up to the strike today. And the tent that was on one side of the road, the first tent is the WGA one. And they see me from a mile away and they were like, yours is over there. Like,
yeah.
At this point, they're like, we know our SAG girlies and we know our WGA girlies.
Yes.
And you clearly are belong elsewhere.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I was just like dying laughing because it's when you're walking with everybody, it's unbelievable how clear it is without looking at people's sign. That's a writer. That's an actor.
Yeah. That's a person who's paid to be in front of the camera. And this is a person that's not that. That's not.
It was amazing. Okay. Another fun anecdote from the strike today. And I
please
can tell
share.
You all about it. So I'm walking with a girlfriend of mine and there's one part, this is for the Fox lot. So on Pico, the entrance to the Fox lot is right there. So you have to keep walking back and forth where all the cars are driving through.
Yeah.
And so at one point she crossed the street and I didn't have time to cross the street. And the guy next to me, clearly a writer, said, would have been funnier if she got hit. And I was like, all right, paint the whole story for me. He's like, okay, the year is.
Yeah.
All this stuff. Like the writers are, I mean, they've been doing this for so much longer than the actors. The writers are like telling stories on the walk. They're all just like, please, all we dream of is telling stories. They're just making things up. It was like, oh man, you guys have been out here for too long. Please get a good deal.
And I hope everybody out there is staying hydrated, put on that sunscreen, try and stay in the shade. Cause I had to help my mother-in-law move some stuff and I ended up being in the sun significantly longer than I anticipated.
No.
And it was not pleasant. So for everybody striking out there, just stay hydrated, put on that sunscreen, baby. Cause it is not cool outside. It is very hot.
Yeah, they actually, the strike was supposed to go longer today, but the places in the Valley, Disney lot, they were like, you can't strike for that long because people are going to get sick. It's so hot in the Valley.
Yeah, we don't want people dying. That would not be great. That would defeat the purpose. And we're going to talk about a little bit about that more, but listen, time to redo the business up top because we're redoing this intro. Of course, you can go to patreon.com/onlystupidanswers. Give us 5 stars on iTunes. If you're listening to Spotify, we ask a question every week. This might have been 2 weeks ago's question. What crazy stunt would you like to see Tom Cruise try next? Yeshua Wazalewski said, I'd be excited/nervous to see Tom Cruise do an outer space related stunt. I think it'd have a different level of gravity, pardon the pun, than a lot of his stunts. Just wait, him and Doug Liman, they're working on it. So listen, we already talked about it a little bit, but let's just dive right in to news. We're talking about the SAG strike. So for people that are as immersed in this as we are, there is a writer's strike. It's been going on since May, I believe. And now the SAG has also been in negotiation. Basically, the Writers Guild was in negotiations with AMTPPPTPP. And they were like, obviously, I'm not a part of them. I'm not a part of any guild, not a part of any negotiations. But it seems like the sticking points are the studios have a real hard-on for AI. I'm going to assume because they've never actually seen anything made with AI. And they are really dragging their heels on revealing their viewership numbers, which if I were one of their, what's the word I'm looking for? Why did I just blank? One of the, no, Stafford? Not one of the writers, not the, one of the,
oh, board. Shareholders?
If I was a shareholder and I saw how hard the producers were like, no, we can't show our numbers, I'd be like, wait, time out. What aren't you telling me? But so that those were the sticking points with writers. No deal was made. Writers went on strike. Directors just rolled right over and they made a deal with the producers. I'm going to assume because there's a lot of overlap there. That I don't know for sure. I'm talking out of my ass. And now the actors, similarly to the writers, could not create a deal with the producers. And now they are on strike. As of this recording, there's still a little bit of confusion as to who can do what, where, when. Because lines are
blurry
between content creators and influencers and actors and stuff like that. So we're still figuring all that out. But here's what we do know. Nearly 160,000 SAG members are on strike. So there's no filming or no promotion for big studio projects, including Comic-Con. Comic-Con's really going to be a Comic-Con this year. Fran Drescher, who is, the nanny, is the president of SAG-AFTRA. And she said, "We are being victimized by a very greedy entity. I am shocked by the way the people that we have been in business with are treating us. I cannot believe it, quite frankly, how far apart we are on so many things, how they plead poverty, that they're losing money left and right while giving hundreds of millions of dollars to their CEOs. It's disgusting. Shame on them. They stand on the wrong side of history at every moment." And to that point, Bob Iger, president of Disney, went out and was like, actors and writers are being unrealistic, and I think I find it disturbing. Meanwhile, our buddy Bob over there is making $25 million a year.
Yeah.
A year.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it was like $400 million in the last 5 years or something. I mean, it's when he used the word disturbing, I legitimately chuckled because it's an interview and you can watch it. And
yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, his composure, he's like, I mean, they're unrealistic.
Yeah.
Yeah. The interviewer is like, "What's unrealistic?" And he's like, "I couldn't tell you. It's disturbing."
Cool.
And it's like, what? Like, he just genuinely hears. And I saw a bunch of GIFs and memes and stuff saying like the subtext of it, which is, "I don't want to sell my fifth yacht, and it's disturbing that they would want me to. I love my life. Why are you guys trying to make me have millions less than the millions I have?" And it's like, I genuinely think that he's too far gone. I think that they're all too far gone. They don't know what it's like to as you are, DJ, as I am, to genuinely struggle, to not know how I'm going to pay rent, to not know if I'm going to be able to have children, to not know that I can stay living in this city because I have a dream, and a dream in which I still work 90 hours towards. Like, I don't know if you've seen all of these, like Orange is the New Black and different cast members from different shows coming out being like, when all things were said and done, I made less than minimum wage per hour. Like, I'm in all of the, I saw somebody, I think it was from Insecure, say that he just received 50 residual checks. That's a real number, 50. Yeah. And that they totaled to $86 total for the 50 residual checks. Like, this isn't a conversation about how do millionaires make a couple million less. This is a conversation about how can you survive as an actor in a, as your career. Same with a writer. Like, everybody's seen the stats going around about the fact that 87% of SAG members don't qualify for health insurance. And in order to qualify for health insurance, you need to make $26,000 a year. And 87% of their union of SAG, 87% doesn't qualify because that's how little they're making.
Health insurance shouldn't be tied to our jobs, but that's a different conversation for a different day. That's a different one. I think you make a good point that is kind of part of the challenge here is Bob Iger making less than $25 million a year isn't on the table. You know what I mean? When they're having, I can almost guarantee when they're having the discussion of like, if they have to meet the writers and the actors where they're at, the conversation isn't going to be, well, maybe Bob can make less money. That's not happening. That's not that what's going to happen is less people will be hired, less content will be made. You know what I mean? And that sounds more nihilistic than I want to be, but I do think it points to a larger issue that we have. Like, these people are the problem. Like, they're and we need to find a way to resolve that problem.
Yeah, what if the first thing he said when he came to the table was, "I will cut my paycheck in half."
Yeah, and he'd still be fucking richer than I could imagine.
And make $12 million a year.
Yeah.
You know, think about how far that extra $12 million would go a year.
Yeah.
But it's just asinine. And I'm bummed because what the studios are doing a really good job of is getting people to believe that this is about rich actors wanting more money.
Yeah.
And that's so not what's happening. I hope people are doing the research and seeing that one of the main sticking points for SAG is that legitimately this is what is on the table. This is what the contract offer was from the AMPT, AMPTP.
Yeah.
Or as you said, AMPTPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPP background actors for one day of work.
Yeah.
One day. And then we own their likeness and can use it in perpetuity as many times forever as we want. And they get one day of paid work and we just have them forever.
Mm-hmm.
That's criminal.
Yeah.
That's not acceptable and not a good, like Fran Drescher said, we are so far apart from getting to a deal right now because that's what they're bringing to the table.
Yeah.
Paying for one day of work for us to use your image for all of time.
And that's part of an example of like the toxic billionaire culture in this country where it really does get down to, like I made a joke about it on Twitter, but I really feel like that's the logic behind it. It's like, how can we take the money from everybody and pay the money to nobody? Like, how do we, and it's one of those, not only is it greedy and not only is it morally wrong, it's also kind of fucking stupid. Cause how do you expect people to buy your shit if nobody's making money? Like, do you not understand? Like,
economy.
I feel like that's the brain virus we're having to work against is the larger issue is I grew up in a culture like this where it's like, well, the people have the money, deserve the money. They did the work. And it's like, that's not, I don't know how to tell you. Elon Musk is not a genius. Bob Iger is not a genius. Like their work output is not 25 million plus more than yours or mine. That's not how that equates. Nobody, in my opinion, should be getting 20. I don't care what the fuck you do.
And you're naming Iger. Zasloff took $250 million home last year. $250 million from Zasloff.
Yeah. And it's like, Iger
took.
Where's the money going to come from? Take a guess, my guy. Like, it's not, that's the idea that the money doesn't exist is nonsense. But how you can't, again, this is not on the table. You can't explain this to these people. But that is why we have labor unions. That's why solidarity is important, because it is allowed. And it's not just, obviously, this is important to the show and our lives, but it's not just entertainment labor unions that are striking. Like we're in the middle of a big
hospitality, UPS. Yeah. Yep.
And good, because things are, Roxy, I don't know if you know this, things are bad. And I think, I hope dearly in my heart that these actions work, because historically, based on my knowledge of history, the other times that we've gotten forced things into good places, like wars and depressions and shit, which I personally don't want to have to live through. It's not on my to-do list. So I would much rather these strikes yield good deals than things break down to the point where things devolve into violence personally.
Completely. So with you, you know, I was talking to my therapist yesterday, not to get super deep, but I was feeling incredibly stressed out about this strike, as everybody in the industry is.
Yeah.
Whether you're in the union or not in the union, this is affecting everybody who is in entertainment, and everybody who loves entertainment. It's affecting the entire economy. It's affecting everybody I know, myself included. So I don't say this like, woe is me.
Yeah.
But I said to my therapist, like, you know, I haven't had to work behind a bar in a decade.
Yeah.
And I genuinely don't know how I'm going to survive this time. And this undetermined amount of time,
yes.
Like, which a lot of people, like Brian Cox, just put out that article about how he thinks that this is going to go through to December. A lot of people are saying that they feel like the earliest September, but could go end of the year, if not longer. And I am just me. You think about all the people out there, you know, as today I saw, people are with their babies.
Yeah.
They're with their children. They have to pay for diapers and food, like, and have dependents. And it feels inhumane that you could see all of this and still, like, and I, even though I feel fucking scared as hell, there was no other option. Mm-hmm. Like, what my therapist said to me, which is accurate, was just like, if this didn't happen because of the strike, though, it would have happened eventually anyway. That, like, I think it's what, payments are down this year for writers by 13%. Mm-hmm. And same from the year prior. Like, it's already dirt. I already am working 90 hours. I'm already not making minimum wage. Like, making $0 is worse, but it's not forever. And something has to give. Like, it's not, there was no fucking choice. What are the unions supposed to do? What are actors and writers supposed to do? It's a career. So you have to be able to survive off of it. So it's like, as scary as this time is, I think we all stand by the fact that it's necessary, and to not believe that is disgusting. To use Bob Iger's word against him, mm-hmm. It's disgusting that you are seeing these people who cannot, that you want to bleed them dry. They cannot afford a roof over their head, and they're working full time for you.
Yeah.
It should be illegal.
I'm bummed that I don't have the quote in front of me, but one of these deadline, whatever, There was unnamed members of the AMTP, whatever. Sorry. Mm-hmm. We're like, yeah, you know, it's a necessary evil, but we're going to have to wait. I tweeted about it. Maybe I can find
it. People are going to have to lose their houses.
Yeah. One? We're just going to have to wait them out to lose their houses. And it was one of those.
Did you, like, see what Ron Perlman said?
I saw people talking about what Ron Perlman said.
Amazing. I'll find you this quote.
Find me that. But it was one of those moments where it was like, oh man, yeah, necessary. The concept of necessary evil is bullshit. Like, there is no it's like, I just don't wanna. I have options that aren't evil, but I'm just gonna do the evil thing and tell myself it's necessary.
Yeah, because so we were hearing that they were saying, like, we're gonna, p- people are going to have to lose their houses, yeah, and we're going to wait until they lose their homes.
Here's the quote. Here's the quote from okay. Deadline to tee up your Ron Perlman. The end game is to allow things to drag on until union members start losing their apartments and losing their houses, a studio executive told Deadline, acknowledging the cold as ice approach. Several other sources reiterated the statement. One insider called it a cruel but necessary evil.
This is what Ron Perlman has to say back to this.
Yeah.
Who, by the way, was one of the my favorite people I ever interviewed.
Yeah.
He was so real. And just, this is why.
Goddamn legend.
One thing before I get off this. The motherfucker who said we're going to keep this thing going until people start losing their houses and their apartments. Listen to me, motherfucker. There's a lot of ways to lose your house. Some of it is financial. Some of it is karma. And some of it is just figuring out who the fuck said that. And we know who said that and where he fucking lives. There's a lot of ways to lose your house. You wish that on people. You wish that families starve while you're making $27 million a year for creating nothing. Be careful, motherfucker. Be really careful, because that's the kind of shit that stirs shit up. Peace out.
Love it.
Unbelievable quote.
Well, because Ron Perlman has no fucks left to give. Like, he's what late 70s or like 80s. He's up there. He's had a storied career. He's like, you know what? Fuck it.
I've never heard a celebrity say, I'm gonna come to your house.
Yes.
I'm gonna burn it down the way he just.
Yes, 100%. Before we leave this topic, I will say, I think like people, this is scary. I think like a lot of people, like you, Roxy, feel the pressure of not being able to work, and I think people react in a lot of different ways. And I do think there's an element of solidarity that is also, remember to be kind with people. I think we know who's on one side and who's on the other. And so there's a lot of like, it could be easy in fear and uncertainty to start attacking the people around you or accusing the people around you or whatever. And I think by and large, I mean, I don't know anybody that's going to lunch with Bob Iger. So I think by and large, we're on the same side. And being patient and understanding with people and showing up and standing up for people, but also understanding where people are at and being compassionate as everybody kind of works through this trying time and works to the same goal together is important. I think that's important. We're over here. We're going to be updating y'all. We're going to be trying to figure it out on our end. But I think it's safe to say that the OSA is pro-union, pro-strike, stick it to the studios, man. Fucking, there you go.
Yeah, I'm super duper with you, DJ, on all of that. And I do think it's important to keep in mind there's like 10 enemies here, and that's the extent of it.
And not like, and I don't think Roxy's saying like 10 group, like literally 10 people.
Yeah, and like everybody else is going to do the absolute best they can to navigate this time. And like, obviously, there are certain very clear things you shouldn't do. If you are non-union, you should not go out there and accept the role of a lifetime that's union. You'll really screw yourself.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I do, like, I have a friend who has 3 kids under 4 years old and is like, I don't know what to do. I can't go strike every day. And it's like, and that's okay.
Yeah, 100%.
And that is okay. Like, anybody who's judging that person for not being on the picket line, everybody's going to do the best that they can during this time to support the union. It's going to look different on different people.
Yeah.
But that's okay. Also, right now, the union is not – none of the unions are calling for us to cancel our streaming services or stop going to movie theaters. Now, things are always subject to change, but as consumers, they're not asking anybody to do anything except for help support by social media messaging out and financially supporting to people who are on strike right now. And I think that that's an interesting thing as well. You know, we're still allowed to watch all the content and
–
and hopefully support the individual people like the gaffers and the actors and all those
because it's not, you know, because it's not just because the actors and writers are on strike, essentially everything, you know, so below the line, the workers like gaffers and stuff like that are also also, yeah, exactly. They're not able to come into work because there's nobody to put the light on. So stay tuned, everybody. Stay cool and be kind, except to the studios. Fuck those guys. All right. We are back. And before we get to our main topic for the day, we got some two big things happened today. We got some more Superman Legacy casting, trying to sneak that in there right before the negotiation deadline, which is, I think, midnight tonight. And then Emmy nominations. Before we get into the Emmy nominations, Roxy, when are the Emmys supposed to happen? Hold on, I probably have this in front of me.
September, right?
Monday, September 18th. Oof.
So,
God willing, am I right? God willing.
Yeah. It's very clear that SAG's going to go on strike, as they had to pull in the negotiation teams late, whatever that it is that they did. And it seems like after the statements of the House people are going to lose their houses or whatever, it seems like there's just not going to be any kind of agreement, which means that are the Emmys going to take place? Because I don't think that the actors will be allowed to attend. I don't think the writers will be allowed to attend.
Can I tell you what I hope for?
Yeah, what do you hope for?
What I think would be fucking hilarious. I hope, part of me hopes that the hubris, the massive hubris of these studio heads are like, we'll do it. We'll do it, or we'll have AI do it. And it's a disaster. Like, imagine like Zaslav getting up and accepting the, no, it'd be like, let's, Bob Iger getting up there and accepting award for Abbott Elementary and like faking everybody and just having it tank and having these people like, cause that's.
Didn't something like that happen at the Emmy? Who accepted something? And it was so uncomfortable.
I don't know, but it is this weird catch 22. Cause I feel like the closest example I have is Twitter, right? Cause on the one hand, Twitter was useful. For your and my career, right? On the other hand, Elon Musk has done a much better job than anybody else, just putting on full display the egomania and the dipshittery that are the core of his being. And part of me wants the studio heads to get that same opportunity. Just really show everybody how completely out of touch with reality you are. Like, really get up there on the world stage and just fumble the ball. Like,
that would be unbelievable, DJ. Unbelievable.
Or like I want them, I do want them
would
to
it
like
be the most watched broadcast ever.
Yeah, maybe. I also want, because then that defeats the purpose. Then they'll think, because they can't deter, they're not able to discern good attention from bad attention. The other thing is, I think the bummer is it would take too long, but I do want them to genuinely try and put out an AI show and like realize, like, oh no, this isn't what we were told it was.
Yeah, that's true too. That would be crazy. I think instead we're just gonna see a lot of reality TV. What's a bummer is that, like, I know that it shouldn't matter, but DJ, the day that I'm nominated for an Emmy will be one of the happiest days of my entire life.
Yes.
And again, I know it shouldn't matter. I know that award, you don't do it for the awards, but imagine waiting your whole life for this moment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then, like, you can't even enjoy it at all. If the Emmys even happen, which, you know, say that SAG goes on strike, and say they strike for months.
Yeah.
What are they going to do then? Have the Emmys be next year? Or will they just cancel them? Or will they just do like a digital announcement of the nominations? I mean,
I feel like the only real genuine option I feel like is to punt, right? Punt it till the strike's over. That's another, and this is too early. It's not even happened yet. But what do you think the breaking point is. Like, what is, like, what is the breaking point for the studios? Because that's the thing, like I know the studios are counting on, you know, the writers and the actors feeling the hurt. But here's the problem. They've already been feeling the hurt, man. Most of us are already broke, my dude. This isn't any different than our day to day. What are you talking about? So like, I wonder, like, could it be something like the Emmys? Like, we don't even have an Emmys to put up. Is it like a combination of those things? Like, what is it? I mean, box office has already been tanking this year. And that's a whole other thing we can unpack. But we already saw, like, not that this was the only thing, but like, The Flash didn't have its star out to promote it, and it didn't do so hot. I don't know that that was the reason, but I can't imagine that it helped.
I think that's a good point.
Yeah.
I think that's a good point. I mean, after Barbie and Oppenheimer kind of got, I know this is Emmy related, it's movie related, but Barbie and Oppenheimer got a lot of their like last press in.
Mm-hmm.
Unless somehow whatever happens and they're able to continue to do press.
Yeah.
But
you can definitely feel it. Like, we need to get this in under the wire. We need to have things that we can keep posting for the next month.
Especially with Barbie, I've just been seeing like thing after thing. But
yeah.
What art shows and movies even going to be allowed to do or for your consideration?
Yeah.
Like billboards and all of that. And any of it work?
Yeah. Well, for the moment, while we can, let's give people their flowers. All right. Let's go through some of these. Because we support the actors in this house. We got Best Drama Series, Andor, love it. Better Call Saul, love it. The Crown, haven't seen it. House of the Dragon, I buy that. Last of Us, obviously. Succession. Wait, is this for this season of the Succession, the last season?
Yeah.
Succession's going to clean up, right? It's its last season.
Yeah, that's why all three of the main guys are nominated for Best Lead Actor. Even though Brian Cox was only in half the episodes.
White Lotus and Yellow Jackets, love both shows. If I were to choose the best drama, it wouldn't be them this year, but all good. Best Actor in a Drama, Jeff Bridges and Old Man. I love that show, and I love Jeff Bridges. That makes me happy. And here's what you're talking about, Roxy. Brian Cox, Kieran Culkin, and Jeremy Strong, also in there with Bob Odenkirk and Pedro Pascal. Do you think this is one of those situations where, like, the Succession people cannibalize each other?
I kind of do, which is a bummer because they all deserve it. But Bob Odenkirk might sneak away with this. I was surprised that we didn't get a Diego Luna
Andor. Yeah. Yeah. Ooh, it makes me so happy Bob Odenkirk got it. Better Call Saul's so good. Best Actress. Less Succession ladies to put in this category. Sharon Horgan from Bad Sisters. Melanie Lynskey from Yellow Jackets. Elizabeth Moss from Handmaid's Tale. Bella Ramsey from The Last of Us. Kerry Russell from The Diplomat. And Sarah Snook from Succession. Does the fact that she's the only Succession in this category benefit her chances?
I don't know, but how Kelly Riley is not nominated from Yellowstone yet again, when I continue to tell you every year that she is the best performer on television. Not only is she not nominated, nothing from Yellowstone yet again, nothing from 1923, no Costner, no Yellowstone, no Harrison Ford, no Kelly, no nothing. What's happening? Why? Yeah. Why does she keep getting snubbed? There's something. This is like how Jake Gyllenhaal is with the Oscars, to continue not being nominated when like he does things like Nightcrawler. And it's like, are you guys just not watching it? Like, what is happening? That, I don't know. Do I think Sarah Snook's going to win this category? Maybe.
Yeah. She was really good in this last season. She's real good.
Yeah.
Best Supporting Actor. Speaking of more Succession cannibalization. And White Lotus. This is basically, oh my God, wait, is it all? Best Supporting Actors, all White Lotus in Succession. We got F. Murray Abraham from White Lotus, Nicholas Braun from Succession. God, he's so fucking funny. Michael Imperioli from White Lotus, Theo James from White Lotus, Matthew McFadden from Succession, Alan Ruck from Succession, Will Sharp from The White Lotus, and Alexander Skarsgård from Succession. God damn.
Yeah, I like White Lotus a lot, but it got more love than I would have given it.
I liked the first season a lot, and I enjoyed the second season. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't like my top. It's good. I liked it. It just, you know, wasn't as good as the first season, in my opinion. But you're right. The Emmys had different feelings.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Succession deserves every bit of love that is in every nomination. And yeah. Honestly, if you didn't get nominated for Succession, you should feel bad.
You should feel guilty, because what are you even doing? Best Supporting Actress in a Drama Series, Jennifer Coolidge for The White Lotus. That's the one. Yeah, man. That's the one. Elizabeth Debicki from The Crown. Megan Fahey from White Lotus. She was real good. She was real good. Sabrina Impecciatore from The White Lotus. Aubrey Plaza from The White Lotus. God, the Emmys really like The White Lotus. Rhea Seehorn from Better Call Saul. God damn it, she deserves it.
Everybody says she should win.
So. Why is she supporting? She's like the co-lead. If it gets her award, I support it. J. Smith Cameron. I don't know.
Why is Brian Cox lead and not supporting? I don't really get how some of these work. Why is The Bear a comedy and not a drama?
Yeah. Yeah. Simona Tabasco from The White Lotus. It's very attractive. Best Comedy Series, Abbott Elementary, Barry. You know, lighthearted comedy, Barry. The Bear, Jury Duty. We're going to talk about that and what we're into. Marvelous Miss Maisel, Only Murders in the Building, Ted Lasso, Wednesday. Roxy, who's your choice for Best Comedy?
If it was just Best Show, then maybe The Bear, but it's not the best comedy. And the best finale was Maisel.
I didn't see it, but I believe you.
It's the best finale.
Well, if I were to choose the comedies for the comedy from this list of comedies, it'd have to be Abbott Elementary.
Yeah, it's the one that makes me laugh the most.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that show. So it's hard to say, like, how are we comparing Abbott Elementary to Barry?
Yeah, because I'm choosing my favorite show on this list of shows, it'd be Barry.
And I think Dave should be nominated in this category.
Easily, because it is a comedy. It is still, that is a comedy that is still a comedy.
Yeah.
Wednesday's for a comedy, sure. Whatever, you know. Yeah, so we got the usual suspects here for all the comedy actors. We got Christina Applegate, Rachel Brosnahan, Quinta Brunson, Natasha Lyonne from Poker Face, great choice. Jenna Ortega, because I guess that's a comedy. Actors, we got Bill Hader, Martin Short, Jason Segel. Is Shrinking supposed to be a comedy? I guess.
Shout out to Jenna Ortega for being the first Latina actress to be nominated for lead actress in 10 years.
Okay, it's not an ever. I thought it was one of those, like, this is the first Asian actress to be nominated for. Oh, no, it was SNL. Like, this is the first Asian performer in SNL. Like, excuse me?
What, who, with Bowen Yang?
Yeah, like, how long have we been doing this? And this is the first?
Yeah, it's been 10 years, DJ.
Yeah. She's great. It's just, we need to do better. Best Supporting Actor, Anthony Carrigan, Phil Dunster, Brett Goldstein. James Marsden. Didn't James Marsden get nominated twice?
For Jury Duty and what?
I think maybe I saw somebody posting it. Oh. It was like their wish thing that he would get.
But Melanie Lynskey did get nominated twice for The Last of Us and for Yellow Jackets.
She's really great in both of those. I support it.
Yeah.
Both performances very good.
Yeah, but I do feel like more Yellow Jackets performances should have been nominated, because while I do think Melanie Lynskey is great, to be nominated for lead actress in that show this season, I don't feel like she really was the lead. And also, I feel like Juliette Lewis should have been probably nominated. Christina Ricci should probably be nominated. Like,
yeah,
it's a very good, solid cast.
The cast in that show is really, like, really excels.
The young Melanie Lynskey, too.
Roxy,
the young Shauna.
Do you watch Righteous Gemstones?
No, I hear it's amazing. It was amazing this season.
Yeah, it's pretty good. But it made me think of Yellow Jackets, because they have a young, my brain just shat out the side of my head. Danny McBride. There's a, you know, they every season they do a flashback episode, and the kid that plays young Danny McBride, like, the cadence and the delivery is like spot to the point where I was like, did Danny? did Danny McBride dub these? Did they like? It's just one of those like, wow, this kid actor is fucking nailing it. Like, I buy it as young this character. Best supporting actress in comedy: Alex Borstein from Marvelous Miss Maisel, Ayo Edebiri, Janelle James, Shirley Ralph, a lot of Abbott Elementary love, Juno Temple, Hannah Waddingham. Well, you know what? All these people deserve awards. I think they all should get awards. Give it to all of them.
Maybe that's the point of the Emmys this year. That's what they're going to say. They're going to say, we didn't throw the Emmys, so instead everyone gets one because you've been going through hell.
Yeah, because you, good job. Because we want to say good job. Overall, Roxy, what are your vibes on this the Emmy nominations this year?
I think that they did a decent job. It's so interesting because my friends who don't watch that much television were all like, these Emmy nominations suck, and I watch a ton of television. And I was like, I think they did a pretty decent job while missing some stuff. The Yellowstone stuff, I can't lie, it's egregious. Dave probably to me was the funniest show of the year.
Yeah.
Especially with that final episode, which I just thought was like perfection. There's the same thing with the Yellow Jackets noms, being a little confused on why White Lotus gets like as many noms as Succession. What qualifies for a miniseries versus what qualifies for drama or comedy is confusing as hell to me too. Something like Obi-Wan being nominated, being like, huh, really? You know, there's like,
well, what was Obi-Wan nominated for?
Miniseries. There's always going to be little things that I'm like, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
But in general, I think they did a decent job. How about you?
Sure. I'm not much of an awards person, but just going through that list, it's like, yes, all of these are good shows with good actors in them. Again, I think maybe I would have, maybe toned down the White Lotus love. Not all the actors in it are good. But like you said, like there's some room for other performers. Maybe as we talked about the Jenna Ortega thing, maybe an actor of color did something impressive this year. Who knows? Who's to say?
Couldn't possibly say.
No room with all these honkies on this list. But looking at the list, I was like, yeah, all solid shows, all shows that I enjoyed. Good for them. Anyone else is good for you at home? Ads. Here's some ads. All righty, we're back, and we're here for the main topic today, which is also kind of news because listen, Roxy, I'm sure you felt it. I'm feeling it too. A lot of people trying to sneak shit in under the wire in case this strike happens. And specifically what I'm referring to is you could feel James Gunn going, all right, we're not going to be at Comic-Con this year. So here's the things I would announce. And I have a feeling this is going to be one of those times where you and I have different feelings about this. And I can be honest with the fans at home. I've had a lot on my plate, so maybe I'm just generally salty this week. But I have nothing against any of this casting we're going to talk about, other than it makes me worried about the movie a little bit and what the Superman movie is going to be. Another thing I can admit is I think I've realized that obviously I'm particular. I think we can all acknowledge I can be pretty particular, but I think I'm especially
DJ
like
talks trash.
I know. I think. What I'm also realizing is, based on my reaction compared to other people's reactions, I'm also kind of protective of specifically Superman and Spider-Man. Like, do it right. You know what I mean? Let's get into it.
Batman, you're more protective of Spider-Man than Batman. I mean, of Superman than Batman.
Okay, I'm much more of a Superman guy. Not much of a Batman guy as a character, although I think I can acknowledge that he's had the best move. Batman is inherently, I think Batman does so well because he's inherently cinematic. You know what I mean? His costume he was very influenced, like him and his rogues were very influenced by early cinema. His costume looks cool on camera. His rogues, you know, there's elements of the misunderstood monster from like going back to the days of like Universal Studios. There's just Batman is inherently cinematic. It's hard to make a bad Batman movie. Superman's my boy, though. I
know that it's hard to make a bad Batman movie, but I hear you.
Yeah, I just the track record there. I feel safe in saying there's more good Batman movies than bad ones by a country.
You feel
mile.
About Batman how I feel about Spider-Man.
Yeah, well, I don't even know because what are bad Batman movies? Batman and Robin, and I would argue the Zack Snyder ones. But like the Tim Burton Batmans were good. All the Nolan trilogy is good. But the Batman is good.
Do you like BBS?
I like it better than Man of Steel. But again, I am protective of Superman. I feel like
I like BBS better than I like Man of Steel too.
Yeah, I think it's because why is that? I think one because it kind of tried to acknowledge some of the stuff from whatever. We don't need to get into this Snyder debate. But yes, I like BVS better than Man of Steel. I also like the director's cut of BVS better than theatrical BVS. But let's get into this. I'm interested because we haven't really talked about this. I'm interested to know your thoughts on this casting. Let's start with the one that like I had to stop and I had to be like, is this real or is this fake? Nathan Fillion has been cast as Guy Gardner, not as Hal Jordan, but as Guy Gardner.
Yeah, I was really surprised by this.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was one of those like, wait, is this because you know it's like discussing news or discussing movies? Is it discussing movies or disbussing movies? I've fallen for this trap before.
I actually really fucking like Nathan Fillion.
He's great.
He's really good.
Yeah.
And I think he elevates most things he's a part of. And I think he's funny and charismatic.
Fantastic
in
Guardians 3.
For a really long time. Like, I really like him.
Maybe the gap between us isn't that big. Maybe we're kind of on the same page here.
I wonder what happened here.
And other than... I can give you a piece of the puzzle. Nathan Fillion and James Gunn are good friends. Beyond that.
I literally wonder, like, was this a straight offer? Was there a chemistry read? Was there an audition? Like, how? I wonder what happened here.
Yeah.
How did we decide? Did we decide Nathan Fillion and then we decided Guy?
Did we decide Guy and then say Nathan Fillion?
Yeah, I kind of just want to know what happened here because this was so surprising to me.
For people that, again, Roxy's been hosting a DC show for like a decade now or something. And obviously, like I've been talking about it for a while as well. Nathan Fillion, people have been fan casting Nathan Fillion for decades longer than that was viable right. for Hal Jordan. He'd be a great Hal Jordan. Like, no doubt. He'd be an amazing Hal Jordan. I think my issues with him being Guy are manifold. One, I don't think he is as good a pick for Guy as he is for Hal. Somebody responded to a tweet I did and like, I always thought Alan Richardson would be a good guy. And I'm like, that is correct. Alan Richardson totally would be a great guy. Good call.
Great Hawk.
Man. He was great in Fast X. He could do that role in his sleep. Also, people got big mad that I pointed out how old Nathan Fillion is. But
yeah, because Guy, like, so what is the age gap between Superman then? I don't know how old David is.
David Corn Sweat, I think, is early 30s.
And he looks like he's in his 20s
to
me.
And so I think my issue is Guy being older, what the fuck does that mean? Like, he's like, he was the second Green Lantern. I have this in my notes. He was introduced in 1968, but he kind of dropped off the map and they brought him back after introducing Jon Stewart. And he was kind of revamped by Steve Englehart and Joe Staton. If you want to really bleak look in the comics as actors are looking to go on strike and writers are on strike. I think it was Steve Englehart, one of the people that revamped Guy. They're like, yeah, Guy Gardner was a nobody. We took him, brought him back, made him kind of like the jingoistic blowhard that he is, and I regret it because now they use him in everything, and we don't get a cent of that because we didn't create him. But does that mean Guy is the first human Green Lantern? Does that mean Hal's already active but older? Does that mean has Guy been more been active longer than Superman? Because I don't like any of those scenarios.
I wanted Hal and John.
Yeah.
And you wanted Kyle.
I want Kyle. And that's, I truthfully, part of me is kind of like, I wish if Nathan Fillion was Hal, because then you can say, listen, Hal's older. He's been active for a while. We're going to focus on John or Kyle or Guy or, you know what I mean? Like, so I don't know. What is this?
Can you go to my questions though? Can we go back for a second?
Please.
To the how did this happen? I know it's just speculation, but what is your, do you believe that he auditioned for this? Do you believe they picked Guy and then they picked him? Or like, in what order did things happen and how?
I think it's definitely James Gunn saying, I want my friend Nathan in this. People have been fan casting with Green Lantern for years. But I have different plans. I've been told specifically Hal has to be our boy, so I'm going to cast him as Guy because this is probably just going to be a cameo.
Okay, so you think it's a cameo?
Yes.
So you think that Guy is just going to be a cameo?
I think so. Spoiler
alert. And we're not going to see him in other movies in the future?
We'll see him in other movies. We'll see him because they're talking about the Lantern Show. We'll see him in other movies. But that is one of my concerns with... This is, I think when we first talked about it, I have loved James Gunn's DC output. The Suicide Squad Peacemaker loved. I was a little concerned with him doing Superman because it's like, if James Gunn is willing to change up his style to meet Superman where Superman's at, down. If he's going to change Superman to match his voice, concerns. And what I'm seeing from this list is James Gunn has obviously done really well on the superhero medium by having a group of weirdos. And so I see him turning Superman into a group of weirdos movie.
Right.
That's the vibe I'm getting. And I don't, not saying it could be great, but I don't love the vibe I'm getting. I don't like, this is like, wait, this is not what I wanted.
I'm not upset with this casting. I'm not pissed with this casting. I was more surprised than anything and curious about what this ends up looking like. It was not a natural fit.
Yeah. So moving forward, because we'll take a look, we'll unpack it, all of it later. We also got, we'll just go through these. We got Isabella Merced as Hot Girl. She's been in stuff like Dora the Explorer, Transformers Last Night, Sicario, Instant Family. And she's also in the new Madam Web movie that's coming out. We got Edie Gathigi, I hope I pronounced that right, as Mr. Terrific. People probably know him best as Darwin in First Class, but I looked up his IMDb. He's been in a ton of stuff. And then the last piece, snuck it in last minute, just today. We just got it hot off the presses. Anthony Carrigan, NoHo Hank from Barry, is playing Metamorpho. Do I like this casting? Yes. Is it exciting that Metamorpho is going to be in a movie? Totally. We've barely gotten any Superman characters in a Superman movie, Roxy. We've never gotten Bizarro. We've never gotten Metallo. We've never gotten Brainiac. We've never gotten, and it's like we're making room for fucking Metamorpho. What's happening right now?
I think that you should have watched all of Gotham.
Yeah, okay.
So even though we love him as Noah Hank, for years he was Victor Zsasz on Gotham.
Yeah.
And so I'm excited because like keeping him in the DC fam.
Yeah, totally.
And think he's amazing. I hear what you're saying. I was more interested by these casting announcements because it was announcing characters than the cast, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Like I was like, okay, so what do you think that Hawk Girl's role in the new, what are we calling it? Gunverse?
I mean, technically it's DCU. That is the new.
Okay, the new DCU. Yeah. Like, what do we think all these characters' roles are? Like, if you think that Guy Gardner is a cameo in this, do you think Hawk Girl is a cameo?
Well, here's my thought. I feel like what we're building towards is that the Justice League is already active in this universe, and we're gonna, and this, these are the Justice League members we're gonna see. But I don't know that I like that idea.
And you think they're gonna have him be in his 30s, and the Justice League is active, and do you think that they're gonna have a Lois that already has clocked him and is married to him? Like, do you think him and Rachel Brosnahan are already well on their way?
I feel like, I mean, yes, I do think that's possible. Again, I don't, and it doesn't matter what I think. I'm not the one making it, but it's not like, I just want a good Superman movie, man. I don't need.
Right. We just did do, just do that with Superman and Lois, though. You know, we didn't introduce them to each other like that. We like jumped right in with their family. So,
and we're going to talk about this and what we're into, but there's a new animated series, My Adventures with Superman, and they're doing the Lois and Clark thing so well. It's so good. Oh man. And it's, I don't know what, let me ask you, I've made a lot of points about how I'm not feeling this. What would you like? Would you like that to be Superman and Lois are already together? We're off to the races.
I've told you what I want that is not going to happen, which is that we start with him coming into work and we see that she already like kind of whatever, it's maybe her first day or his first day. And then she sees him as Superman and is like, Clark, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
And like immediately clocks it and is like, and we see how brilliant and smart of a journalist she is and how she's not fooled by a pair of glasses.
Yeah.
That's what I legitimately want the start of the movie to be.
Yeah. The very first scene.
Almost.
Yeah.
Inciting incident, 10 pages in.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I did really like that in the show. We kind of just like jumped in and they have kids and they're like off to the races. I don't mind the fact that if the Justice League is already in full swing, I will have questions. And I don't know that these characters are big enough. Like, you know, Hawkgirl, you're going to have some explaining to do.
Yeah.
She's not a self-explanatory character.
Yeah, especially since we just had a Hawkman last fall in Black Adam. Like, is he still around? I genuinely feel like
we had a Hawkgirl in whatever that didn't work for most people at all. Titans.
Oh, no, in Legends.
Legends.
Yeah.
I thought she was a really good, whatever her actress, Kira. I thought she was so adorable and really good, but people did not like that storyline.
They did not like the Hawk people. I just feel like it feels like he's pulling a lot from Justice League International, which was a more team of goofballs and a little bit more comedy centric, and it's like, yeah, just make that movie, man.
There wasn't a Supergirl announcement, though.
There wasn't. Well, it's the thing is, there's not super. Like, who's the villain? And if it's not Brainiac, what are we doing? We've had super movies since the 70s.
In this movie,
no, she's not going to be. You need to let it go. It's not going to happen.
I don't think that you know that.
I don't know that, but I do feel confident about it.
I am a little worried about that. I like everything Gunn has done has proved to me that he can handle things. So none of this is too concerning to me. But one of the reasons that I do think that Justice League didn't work and that BVS didn't work is that, like, I do think that characters really do need their own introduction. Mm. And of all of the characters from the Snyderverse, the only one who did get their own introduction was Superman.
Yeah.
And I think there was really very few characters in that movie.
Yeah.
And I think actually, despite whether Man of Steel worked for you or didn't, a lot of people's favorite character in the Justice League was Henry Cavill's Superman.
Yeah.
So I do think you don't want to overload the Superman movie. That will not be good.
Yeah, and I also think, like, Metamorpho is not an easy sell. I could see, like, he's a complicated character to, like, explain. But I could see maybe there's a situation where he starts as an antagonist. And because traditionally Metamorpho is a hero, and maybe Superman wins him over. But it's also, like, instead of Metallo? Instead of Brainiac? I don't want, God damn it. I just want to fucking.
Do you think he's the main villain?
No, I don't know, Roxy. I don't know. But, like, the main villain needs to be Brainiac. He needs to be. we've had since the 70s, we've been making Superman movies, and not one of them has he fought Brainiac. His hierarchy is Lex Luthor and then Brainiac. We haven't even gotten to Brainiac. And don't do this bullshit where it's like, we're going to save Lex Luthor for another movie. Put him in there. Lex Luthor's part of a supporting cast, all right?
Have we not announced that we're definitely going to have a Lex Luthor? I feel like with all of the Lex talk, I was just figuring.
No, I don't think it's been confirmed whether he's going to be in it or not. I just want to just do a Superman. There's so many things Superman movies have never done. And we're jumping into all these Justice League characters. Whatever. Where's your excitement level at for this movie, Roxy?
It's so hard with the current landscape of the entertainment industry to be excited about anything.
Yes, true. Good point.
On top of that, it's, I don't think any of this casting, my most excitement with this movie comes from Rachel Brosnahan.
Gotcha. That's fair.
I think she's perfectly cast.
And that's saying something because you're not a Lois Lane fan.
Right. And that's wild. I want to see what she can do.
Totally. I was very excited until these announcements. Now I'm a little worried. Might just be feeling burned from Flash did this, Black Adam did this. Like, hey, look at all these Justice League characters in the movie. And it's like, maybe don't do that. Maybe just focus on your guy and his world. And maybe don't crowd it up with other team. We don't need to lay the groundwork for all the team crossover shit just yet.
Yeah.
But, you know, long, we got a while to wait. We got a whole potential strike to get through, multiple strikes to get through. And listen, if you want to follow us, you can follow me at DJ Talks Trash. Roxy, where can the kids follow you?
Everywhere at Roxy Stryer.
You can follow this show everywhere that matters at Only Stupid Answers, but on Twitter.
You ain't got the vowels from stupid.
And we will see you all next.